Good morning to each of you. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be here. We always enjoy our time with Stephanie and Conrad and their family. And that's why we're here, because of our family. Well, and also a wedding. But we're glad for the friends we do have here outside of family. I don't know very many of you, but we're glad to be here this morning. For just a verse, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. It's not necessarily our text, but I want to read it. First Timothy 1 and verse 17, it says, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." I was talking with a friend of mine last year sometime. I'm not exactly sure when. This man is in his mid-80s, and he's a gray-haired man, been ordained for about 50 years. And he was talking with me about an assignment he had to preach. And the title of it was, "What is the greatest need in our churches today?" And I had to ask him what it was. What is the greatest need in our churches today? And his answer was one word, and that was passion. The greatest need we have in our churches today is passion. Passion for God, passion for the cross, passion for the treasures of heaven, for the lost, passion for worship, passion for a proper view of Almighty God. And that's the title of the sermon this morning, is A Proper View of God. Now we have Conrad behind me, and we have Joe and Keith and Stuart here. You know, they're your pastors, they're your deacons, they're your bishop. Do they have a proper view of God? Are they the only ones in this church with a proper view of God? Probably not, right? This is a personal journey. Maybe not the right word. But a personal place that you need to find this morning for yourself. A proper view of God. Turn to Psalm 8 now. A very familiar psalm. Psalm 8 and verse 1. "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." A proper view of God. It gives us the idea that maybe we don't have a proper view of God at all times. And we talked about two men this morning that very clearly stood out to me that they had a proper view of God. And I was inspired and blessed to be that, to be here this morning. And in your hands, I was noticing the bench I was sitting on back there. I don't know the people I was sitting beside, but each one had a Bible. Each of you this morning has a Bible. You're holding the inspired Word of God in your hands. Do you have a proper view of God? Do I have a proper view of God? And again, I want to say, make this personal this morning. As you grab a hold of who you are in Christ and where you found your identity and where your view of God is. A few more chapters over here to Psalm 100. Psalm 100 starts out with this: make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pastures. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. A proper view of God. Our brother in our Sunday school class talked about thankfulness in our fight against sin and temptation. But as we gather here, you gather here at Mount Joy Sunday after Sunday. We gather back home at Santa Fe Sunday after Sunday. Why? What is the reason? What is the purpose? And does it matter what happens in my heart while I'm here? And you may think those are a little bit maybe elementary questions, and they may be. But I think that we do well to consider, as we think of our lives personally, who we are, why we're here, and our view of a holy God, and what it means to be a Christian today. The founder of the Salvation Army had this quote. He says, "If a church was on fire for God, people for miles would come to watch it burn." Is the church here at Mount Joy this morning on fire? Is there passion that flows out of the homes and the hearts and the lives of the men and women and young people in this church? What is my view of God? How is my passion for God? We're a relational people. We have a lot of relationships. That's why we're here this morning. We had relationships. We have friends. We was to a wedding on Friday. We're here with Stephanie and Conrad and Brown and Taylor and Dominic. It's relationships. We're here because of relationships. Friends, this morning, at the base of every relationship stands our view of God. Is that fair to say? At the base of our relationship stands our view of God. And that's why there's relationships that are working and there's relationships that are falling apart because of not having a proper view of God. 1 Chronicles 16 is going to be our text. We're going to go through here verse by verse, starting in verse number 8. I couldn't find 1 Chronicles either. It's right after Kings if you can't find it this morning. 1 Chronicles 16, starting in verse 8. I want to take the time to read down to verse 36. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 8. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when you were but few, even a few, and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved the kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all the nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. And let the men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said amen and praised the Lord. Thinking about our title again, A Proper View of God. Thinking about worshiping this God in the beauty of holiness. You know, worship should spring from our hearts. Worship shouldn't be a byproduct of what God has done for you or me personally. Worship should just flow from within our hearts for what God has done for us. It's been said that when all the actions that we can perform here on earth cease, the worship of God will continue. When everything that we have done in our life ceases, the worship of God will continue. Let's be a people that has a proper view of God. Remember our verse, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's remember that verse as we go through these verses here and pull out a few points. The first one is, give thanks to God. You know, Thanksgiving wasn't that long ago. But would you be okay with today what you were thankful for yesterday? Did you audibly and verbally express your thanksgiving to God yesterday for the life you have, for your children, for your wife, for your family, for your job, for your church, for your pastors? Did you thank God yesterday? Would I be happy today with what I thank God for yesterday? We are a people that forget. We don't remember what we have and what we are to be thankful for. Verse 8 here of 1 Chronicles 16. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, and make known his deeds among the people. When we come into church, we sit here, it was quiet. Habakkuk 2:20 says, but the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him. Those few minutes before the service starts, there's an atmosphere, there's an attitude of reverence. A moment to reflect on the past week. A moment to thank God for the privilege you have of being here this morning. A moment to think about who God is for you personally. And our brother shared this morning in the devotional about how God directed their family and how that worked out for him. And I was so blessed by that story, because sometimes we are called to do things that make no sense, but they're a part of a bigger picture. Do we pause and think about what God has done for us personally? Verse 34, I'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now that's one that I don't always get. In everything, give thanks. And I don't know if Brother Joe does this morning or not, or Brother Keith, if they give thanks in everything. But that's a tough one. But the Bible is telling us to have perspective. And I wish I could remember what Stephanie has on her refrigerator, but it has a thought of not allowing your circumstances to affect your thanksgiving or your attitude. That's tough. In everything, give thanks. Our second one we see here is in verses 9 and 10, and that is sing and praise God. You know, we stood to our feet this morning, and I don't know the song leader, but he led us in a song of worship. We stood together, and we filled this room with singing. sing unto him. Verse 9 and 10. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy temple. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. It was a worship service this morning when we started. The singing was beautiful. We have a smaller church, and I still love our singing. But not everybody in our church can sing on tune. But you had good melody here this morning. We were praising God. I wish I could remember the hymns that were sung. And you probably don't remember them either. So often we sing these praises and we can't remember what we sang. Reflect on the hymns you sing. These verses start out saying, sing unto him. And then it goes on, it says, talk ye of all his wondrous works. You know, the hymns we sing a lot of times talk about the glory and the wonders of Almighty God. Lift your glad voices and triumph on high, for Jesus hath risen and man shall not die. What a song. What a worship experience we can have when we sing that. Or we may sing, Man of Sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, listen to this, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. All of us here, the ground at the foot of the cross is level. Everyone here needed to be saved. Do we sing and praise our God? Verse 23, sing unto the Lord, all the earth show forth from day to day his salvation. There's a verse in Luke, I'm not going to take the time to read it. There's a verse in Luke 19, verse 40, it says, and it's talking about the disciples and the Pharisees, and it says, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you, if they hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, these are the words of Jesus, and he's talking about the disciples, and he says, if they hold their peace, the stones are going to cry out. Friends here this morning at Mount Joy, don't hold your peace. Praise God. Praise him audibly. Tell people what he has done for you. The third one is in verse 11, and that is pray. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. You know, we talked about Joseph this morning. We talked about that story and that persistent temptation he had. You know, I believe Joseph was a man of prayer. And I believe prayer is vital in winning the battle against temptation. Seek the Lord and seek his strength and seek his face. What does it say? Continually. Make it a daily, hourly habit to seek God in prayer. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, it says, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Do I have a proper view of Almighty God this morning when I lay out my heart's desires, my struggles to God? Do I seek him with all my heart? Or does he know that I'm a little lukewarm and I just need a get out of jail card? I just need a little bit of financial help. Or do I seek him with all my heart? Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And it says to call ye upon him while he is near. What a blessing that prayer can be a part of our worship. As we gather here today in the presence of God, call upon God. Pray to God that the powers of darkness would not be here this morning. Acts 17:27 says then that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Joseph recognized that this morning, that God was not far from him. Do you recognize that in your life this morning? When you're on the battlefield and you're out of ammunition, you're out of energy, you're tired, do you realize that God is near? Spend time in prayer. The fourth one we have is in verses 12 through 14. And that is, remember what God has done for you. You know, I was sitting here this morning back there in the back, and I was looking up here in Sunday school, and I was listening to Brother Joe talk, and I went back to the day that we heard that he had a stroke. Remember what God has done for you this morning, dear people. He's sitting here on the bench. He's your bishop still. He's preaching. He's still your dad comrade. Remember what God has done for you. Elaine's sitting back there. She still has a husband. Remember what God has done for you. As you think about your view of God, look back through your life and remember what God has done for you. You know, the children of Israel were called here to reflect on what God had done for them. Now, you want to talk about miracles. You want to talk about God's power just unfolding in front of them. And there, he's having to remind them of his marvelous works, of his wonders, of his judgments. But you know, we're no better. God has done so much for us, and we need to be reminded what God has done. And I'm not saying that you take your dad and your husband and your bishop for granted this morning. I just want you to remember that God saved his life. And then remember what God has done for you personally. It says here, marvelous are his works, and it has judgments in here twice. The judgments of his mouth, and his judgments are on all the earth. You know, Joseph stood before an unjust judge. He went to prison unjustly. God will never judge you unjustly this morning. I promise you, based on the word of God, that you will be judged justly. We never, ever have to be worried about being accused wrongly or misunderstood by God. He knows the truth in every matter. He knows the heart of every individual. And he knows what's going on in each relationship struggle. Psalm 4 verse 3 says, "But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him." Have you ever felt lonely? Have you ever felt forsaken? Pushed out? Discouraged? Run down? Run over? God has set him apart for himself. And then it says, "The Lord will hear when I call unto him." 1 Peter 2, 9 says, "You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Note verse 10, "which in time past were not a people," which is all of us, but are now the people of God, "which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." We can feel lonely. We can feel discouraged. We can feel run over and run down. But we are a chosen people. You are a chosen people, a chosen person. May we take that home with us, that we're God's sons and daughters. Number 5, kind of goes along with this thought, reflect on God's promises. And it's verse 15 through 22 here. What has God promised you this morning? What has God promised me? We'll just read verse 22. It says, "Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm." Recently been listening to the book, God's Smuggler by Brother Nathan. And when he went behind the Iron Curtain, and I just was almost fascinated. I almost couldn't believe that there's churches that meet in secret. That there is churches that they don't each one have a Bible. God's promises are still faithful even behind the Iron Curtain. "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servants." This is Solomon's word here, but I want you to reflect on them. As you worship God, as you reflect on his promises, as you pull together personally who he is to you, not one word of all his promises. Reflect on them. Reflect on what God has done for you, and it will go a long way in your view of him. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God are in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." Let's take that with us. Let's reflect on that and allow it to form our view of God. Number 6, God's greatness. Kind of continuing the theme here. Does the greatness of God move you to your knees as you think about who he is and what he has done? We know without hesitation that God created the world by his spoken word. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. You know, we can get excited about the wonders of the universe And we can share a testimony about how we're fearfully and wonderfully made. But what about the farmer? The dairy farmer. There's a lot of farmland around here. Big fields, big tractors, lots of cows. Thousands of gallons of milk run out the lane every day by Conrad's. Do we remember God's greatness at the fuel pump? What do we say over a cup of coffee with a salesman when the conversation turns a little political? Had a customer on the phone with me this week, and all he was declaring about how it's so great it's going to be when Trump gets back into office. He said, "You're going to vote for Trump, right?" What should I have told him? I'm a business owner. Fuel prices is high. Insurance is high. What should I have told him? And so I just explained to him how I feel about politics. He was a little taken back, but he said, "I agree with you. I agree with that. Yes. You know, God is in control. God is sovereign. But I'm still going to vote." He wasn't going to give that up. But he respected where I stood. Not everybody does that. So as we talk about the raising prices and inflation and fuel and whatever your industry is, and our industry, it's the cost of equipment, it's insurance, it's whatever. Does our conversations pull and push people to the greatness of Almighty God who created the world? Or do we get caught up in the terribleness of how the world is? Make it practical to your situation. Maybe you sell baked goods or whatever. Well, if you have opportunity, push people, point people to the greatness of God. A proper view of God will help us navigate these conversations to bring honor and glory to Him. You know, there is opportunities to listen to people's problems, their desires, the pain, the sadness, the war. There's a lot of opportunity to listen. Always point them to the greatness of God. You know, you and I can share a testimony about how good God is, right? Because we have so much to be thankful for. We have family, we have church, we have homes, we have enough to eat, we got schools, we got everything. What about unanswered questions in your life? What about answers to things that have happened to you that you simply don't understand? What about circumstances that leave you in a place where all you have left is God? Job found himself there. Joseph found himself there. Do we fail to accept the sovereignty of God in the many questions we have no answers for? May we be a people that has a proper view of why God, of who God is, who we are, and what He has done for each of us. This leads us to number seven is give our all to God. And this is in verse 28 and 29. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know, there was 130 people here this morning, and I think the offering was around 3,000. Was that enough? I'm not going to get into that. I know this church is just like our church. And that isn't even what this is talking about. But my encouragement to you is give everything you got in your pursuit of God and your view of God and your relationship with God. Leave your worry and cares at home. Leave them outside and give everything to God. Give the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering, and I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about bring yourself. Bring your attitudes. Bring your problems. Bring yourself to God. Not part of us. Not almost all of us, but all of us. Bring it all. Give it all. And then it says to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Come before God this morning clean and pure. Worship God with a clear and open heart and a free conscience. And accept His sovereign plan for your life. The last one we have here is worship God together. And this is in verses 30 through 36. And I guess that's a burden I have as I think about our churches at large. Is, are we staying together? Are we a unified body of believers that people look at us and they say, I want what that man has. And I want what that man has. I want to be a part of a church that's so tightly unified that they know each other's heartbeat. It says here in verse 30, I'm going to read them for a minute. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, verse 31. Let the earth rejoice, and let men say of the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field rejoice and all that is therein. Skip down to verse 35. O say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Verse 36, blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And it says, all the people said amen. And then it says, and praised the Lord. You know, we need each other to have a proper view of God. What a blessing. What stability, what unity, what joy, what peace. The power and the strength of verse 35, it says, save us, gather us, pull us, lead us together, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. The church here at Mount Joy, I don't know you well. Don't know your struggles, but I know you're probably humans just like we are. Whatever you're called to go through it together. Stay together. Stay unified. And it says, all the people said amen, and all the people praised the Lord. It was a service of unity. So as we think about Almighty God, as we think about a proper view of Almighty God, let's be together. Let's stay together. Let's help each other. Shall we stand for prayer?